Tonight, overcoming a restless spirit. I promise you, if you'll grab hold of what I'm going to release to you tonight in your spirit, I'm not here to entertain you, as Paul would say. I'm not here to preach to you like I would on a Sunday morning and get you all riled up. Tonight, I want to release to you revelation that will change your life for generations if you will receive the teaching I'm going to give you. You must receive the teaching that God has for you. I have struggled with this. I have defeated a restless spirit. I've been defeated by one in my past. I've had to learn how to wrestle with this spirit. And until you are aware of what this spirit is and what it does, you will continue to get choked by it. And I don't want this spirit to affect your life, your children's lives, or generations to follow you. And so you need to understand what this is and how you can defeat it. What I read about people recently was that most people, they don't stay in the same place longer than 5 years. In America, statistically, we move every 5 years. 1 out of 5 Americans moves every year. So we are constantly moving, constantly shifting, constantly changing. We're going through this fast-paced society. We're always moving. We're always tweeting. We're always scrolling. We're always busy. We're always doing this. We're always doing that. We're moving. We're shifting. We're moving. We're shifting. We're moving. We're shifting. Is it possible that in the midst of all this moving and shifting that we miss God's plan for our lives? Is it possible in all this moving and shifting that God is not in the midst of all this moving and shifting? Make no mistake about it, God does shift you. He does move you. Look at Abraham. God does call you. He does shift you regardless of what age you are. And some people have a problem with shifting, but that's for another time. Tonight is for the people who constantly shift, not because God said to shift, just because they have a restless spirit. They can't settle anywhere. They can't be faithful to anything. They can't keep covenant. Oh, I'm stepping on toes now. They can't keep covenant. They're disloyal. And it's not because they want to be disloyal. They just don't know how to connect in covenant. We see this in the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about Jacob tonight, the supplanter, the deceiver, the one who would have his name changed to Israel, Jacob, Jacob. Listen to what God's word says. Genesis chapter 27, verse 30. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. Now he had stolen his brother Esau's blessing. How many of you remember that story? The mama teamed up with Jacob. And he deceived his father, who was blind and sick, and he put hair on himself to smell and look manly like his brother, because his brother was due the blessing, and he manipulated the situation, fed his father a savory meal, and he got the blessing. And Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." Now I want to stop right there. A restless spirit is a spirit that says, "I'll get to this later. Let me take care of me first. Let me go do my hobby first. Let me go do what I want to do, and let me put God's plan off till later." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." He probably wanted to say dummy, because he didn't know what had taken place. "I'm your son, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I've blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, also, oh, my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? The word Jacob means supplanter, for he has supplanted me these two times. You'll remember the other time when Jacob convinced Esau to give him his birthright for a bowl of lentils because he was hungry, and he was so hungry, the flesh had taken over so much that he traded his birthright for a bowl of lentils. So now Esau's having a flashback and he says, this joker has got me twice. He's blaming his brother. He's mad at his brother, and rightfully so. But oftentimes in the kingdom of God, we love to put blame on somebody else. But the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. You see, Esau lost his birthright in his heart long before his brother could steal it. Sometimes what happens to you, you allowed to happen to you in your heart long before it ever happened to you. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? In other words, even though all of this has happened, is there not something that you can give me? Is there a blessing for me? Even though I despised it in my heart, even though I lost it, even though I was preoccupied, even though I was wrestling and restless, is there still a blessing for me? You may be saying, those of you listening to this, God, is there still a blessing for me? I've sinned, I've broken covenant, I've messed up, I've lied, I've stolen, I've murdered, I've committed adultery, I've done the fleshly sins, the spiritual sins, I've made a mockery of my life. God, is there still a blessing available for me? And the answer is yes. No matter what you've done, because of Jesus Christ, there is still a blessing available for you. No matter what bad things have happened to you that you didn't deserve, circumstances beyond your control, there is still a blessing available for you. Don't lose sight of that truth as we go on in the text. Then Isaac answered, and he said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, and this is where it gets good. Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless. Everybody say the word restless, just to keep you on target here. Say it again, restless. When you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. His control will be broken. His power over you will be broken. Your good run of bad luck will be broken when you become restless. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. In other words, I'm going to get that son of a gun eventually. I'm going to get mine. In Genesis 25, the birthright is sold. Now the blessing is stolen. Most people preach this part of the story like this, that when Esau gets restless, when Esau gets tired of wrestling, when Esau gets to the end of himself, the yoke will be broken. But if you dig into the Hebrew text, you find out that the English translation is really not what God's word says. You never want to allow someone to write their own ending to your story. Never give someone the power to write their ending to your story. Somebody say, it's my story. It's God's story. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm following after Jesus. If that's the case, then you can't allow people to write their own ending to your story. God has a happy ending. For every person listening to this, for every person in this room, you just have to believe it and you have to listen to what God's word says. So look at verse 40. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless. That word in Hebrew means when you should or shall have the dominion over restlessness, that you shall break the yoke from his neck. The Hebrew text gives us a recipe for the blessed life. The phrase in Hebrew actually implies that when Esau gains, this is what it means, when Esau gains the victory over a restless spirit, he will inherit the blessing that was always his from the beginning. But there's a test Esau must pass before he can receive the blessing that he lost. You see, there are things that God walks us through. And the enemy loves to repeat negative history. If you didn't deal with the loss of your father in the right manner, then the next time you experience loss, it's going to eat your lunch just the same. Bitterness is going to creep in. Depression's going to creep in. If you don't deal with things God's way when they come, then history will repeat itself. And you have to learn how to deal with things. And so the father blesses Esau, and he says, my son, when you gained the victory, when you take dominion over this restless spirit, the yoke will be broken. And everything that you've lost, that you always wanted, will be yours. Did you know that that's what Jesus Christ did at the cross? When he crushed the head of Satan, he took back everything that was stolen from us so that we could walk in the newness of life. That is the power of the blessing. The word dominion means to rule over. You look at the life of Esau, let's look at it just a minute and see how you can relate to this ruddy, hairy man's man. Listen, he always lived beneath his privilege. We would say here in the South that he was a simple man. There's nothing wrong with being a simple man if God called you to be a simple man. But there is something wrong with being a simple man if God didn't call you to be a simple man. This is all about God's providence, not man's coincidence. God has put you in a position to speak to you and to teach you things, and you have to allow God to teach you those things so you can shift from where you are to where God wants you to be. Esau had a heart problem, not a luck problem. You see, some of you keep blaming your life on luck and circumstances and generational curses and mumbo jumbo. Esau had a heart problem, not a luck problem. This is what it says. The Bible says he despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. Esau had what I would call spiritual attention deficit disorder. Spiritual attention deficit disorder. I actually believe that is part of a restless spirit. Spiritual attention deficit disorder. This is what happens to someone when they're in a move of God, but can't feel it, can't see it, because of a critical spirit, a complacent spirit, a deceitful spirit, or they're just preoccupied with their own lives. Esau didn't know who he was. Now, what Jacob did was wrong, and God had to deliver him, and he went through some hard times of his own. He had to marry somebody he didn't love and stay married to him 7 years before he could get to the one he did love. He got tricked. He got supplanted. So what goes around does come around. God had a plan for Jacob, but he also had a plan for Esau. The Bible tells us that. But he didn't know who he was. And because he had an identity problem, because he had a restless spirit, that wasn't Jacob's fault. You see, it's not Jacob's fault that Esau was preoccupied. Jacob has to own what Jacob did, but Esau has to own what he did. A restless spirit always wants to blame someone else for where they are. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, everybody say heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with one unwashed hands does not defile a man. A restless spirit. Let's define it quickly. A restless spirit is the enemy of commitment and loyalty. If you want to make a list, you can write this down. A restless spirit is the enemy of commitment and loyalty. You ever had someone in your life that couldn't commit? Too legit to commit. They wouldn't commit. It is the enemy of commitment and loyalty. A restless spirit is a spirit that causes you to be unable to rest or relax as a result of anxiety or boredom. Some of you are bored, some of you are too busy. Either way, you have a restless spirit. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. How come we don't rest? We don't sleep. We don't take time alone with God. We don't enter into his shalom, his peace, his rest. There's something warring against our rest. A restless spirit. It's constant movement. I'm not just talking about someone who's hyper. I mean someone who can't stay planted. Someone who's constantly shifting. Someone who right when they're on the verge of a blessing and right when the foundation's about to be built, right when God's about to do something, they run scared. It's a restless spirit. This kind of spirit needs constant change. It's a confusing spirit, and the enemy is the author of confusion. It's an orphan spirit that moves constantly. I've defined an orphan spirit to you before. The fatherless. An orphan spirit can't make covenant. They don't have a covering. They don't want a covering. It's the bad word in Hebrews, the B word. It's a bastard curse, and Jesus bore that curse on the cross, and that's why we are to be called sons and daughters. Amen? He's our Abba Father. A critic that lacks a covering. A restless spirit is a critic that lacks a covering. Is this preaching to anybody tonight? It's a creative spirit that lacks covering. It's not that a restless spirit's not gifted or called. In fact, the mandate on their life is probably larger than the average person. That's why the enemy throws everything he can at them to keep them from being planted. You see, before Jacob became Israel, he was a supplanter. So he was able to pull things out for people. But when his name was changed to Israel, he became a restorer of all things. That's what God will do. Take you from a restless spirit to a restored body. False humility is a characteristic of a restless spirit. Paul talks about this in Colossians. These are people that are controlled by this restless spirit. They are not humble, but they pretend to be humble. It's called false humility. This is an arrogant spirit that's hidden. Confusion. extreme curiosity. This spirit causes you to be extremely curious. You know the old adage, the grass is always greener on the other side. These people are always at the fence looking for greener grass. A restless spirit. If they're in a marriage, they're looking for a better husband, a better wife. If they're in a church, they're looking for a better kids program, a better student ministry, a more loud service, a more quiet service, a bigger crowd, a cooler youth pastor, an older kids pastor, the way it used to be, the way it is at this church on TV, or the way it is at that church. They're always peering over the fence, wondering what life would be like on the other side. The problem is they are preoccupied with self-interest and they miss that God has them where they are for a purpose. And that's what the father says to Esau back around to that. When you gain the victory over this restless spirit, that yoke will be broken over your life. Now, this restless spirit has defeated me many times. I wasn't born a victor. I had to embrace my hero within to become a victor and to learn his ways and to learn his statutes. But here's the principle. You have to first be able to identify that you have a restless spirit. It's okay. Most people who have an issue can't admit it, and if you can't acknowledge it, it's the same thing as getting saved. If you don't confess your sins and acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, you can't inherit the kingdom, you can't be saved. So if we're going to get rid of this thing, you've got to acknowledge that you've got it. Somebody say amen. So how do you overcome a restless spirit? Let's get into it. First, just a few points tonight. Rest and be blessed. Y'all like that? I'm a poet and don't know it. Rest and be blessed. I'm not talking about a good night's sleep. I'm talking about spiritual rest. I'm talking about what we experience during worship. I'm talking about when God starts to speak to you. I'm talking about putting your praise music on, putting a sermon on, putting a devotion on. I'm talking about getting in your prayer closet. I'm talking about God giving you rest, where even if it's just 30 or 40 minutes, it feels like you've slept for 12 hours. I'm talking about Holy Ghost anointed rest, where you wake up feeling refreshed. There was nothing Esau could do to keep from being blessed. You say he lost his blessing. Yeah, but he got another one. Did he not? He was already part of the blessing of Abraham. That had already been released. Do you know that you're already part of the blessing of Abraham? Listen to what it says. In Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine. That was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws." Here's the principle. The blessing had already went forth. So this restless spirit is hindering him from receiving what's already his. I'm not messing with y'all tonight. Do you understand that Jesus Christ already paid the price for your healing, your prosperity, your faith, your anointing, your path, your joy, your peace, all of the gifts of the Spirit? He already paid for it. It's yours. What's keeping you from that? There's a spirit. It has to be taken over by you. You have to take dominion over that and receive what is already yours. It's an illusion. It's a magic trick. God has already given it to you. The enemy has confused you into keeping it from you, to keep you warring within yourself. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So the enemy wants to keep you at war with you, at war with your flesh, at war with your mind. He wants to keep you from everything God promised you. You got to grab it. You got to walk it out. You got to faith it out. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to take the fight to the enemy. And even if you fall, even if you fail, the blessing's still yours. Understand that. Celebrate it and walk in it. Stop worrying about what you lost, what was stolen from you, your past mistakes. You're still blessed. Stop wasting your energy on being mad or trying to get even. You're still blessed. Stop carrying bitterness. You're still blessed. Rest and be blessed. Jesus Christ bought back your blessing. You are grafted into the blessing of Abraham. Receive it and walk in it. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once who were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. He's our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. We're no longer strangers, foreigners, outcasts, has-beens, wannabes. We have been brought near to by the blood of Jesus. We're now fellow citizens, the Bible says, with the saints and the members of the household of God. So this is about your identity. Who are you? If you're saved, you're a branch. The Bible says in John that he's the vine, we are the branches. It's all about your connection. You get your nourishment from connection. You have to know what season you're in. A restless spirit will confuse you about what season you're in. You need to study the seasons. I don't have time tonight. Summer is to be a time of rest and refreshing. And if you're trying to do things outside of the season that you are in, you're not going to be productive. It's about the truth of his word. If God has promised it to you, who's keeping it from you? The enemy. There's a promise of tomorrow. So rest and be blessed. Number two, stop running and start confronting. The reason some people keep running is because they don't want to confront anything or anyone biblically. So whenever things come up, circumstances, arguments, disagreements, nonsense, they run instead of confronting. Stop running and start confronting. I'm going to say this again because someone in here or listening by podcast needs to hear this. Stop running and start confronting. Any Christian, any leader worth his salt would rather you come and be honest, open, and transparent with them than to run like a chicken clucking your mouth. If you come to me and you're honest with me and I hold something against you, that's on me. But if you run clucking like a chicken, that's on you. I had someone come up to me. We've had 20-something people join and great offerings leading up to summer. We're in a move of God here. I'm pleased. I'm happy. I'm ready for vacation. I'm going soon. Y'all better not call me either. Unless you want to give a $1 million check, then I'll make that one exception, okay? I'm just kidding. Y'all are so religious. I can't even joke around. Listen, we're in a good season, but I had someone come up to me today and said, you know, we got a couple that's leaving the church. I said, I hate to hear that. They've always been kind to me. I love them, you know. And they said, well, we're still going to love them. I said, yeah, we're still going to love them. And they said, you don't seem that concerned about it. I said, I decided a long time ago, if you don't love me enough, tell me bye. I don't love you enough to waste my emotional energy on you. If somebody doesn't love you enough, say bye. Don't waste your emotional energy. Don't let that restless spirit come on you. If you've done right by somebody and you've loved them like Christ told you to love them, then, you know, see ya. I'm not saying don't love. I'm just saying don't waste your emotional energy. You only have a certain amount of energy you can give to things every day. And if people don't love you enough to say bye or to talk something through with you, then why are you wasting emotional energy on things? That's a restless spirit. It needs to be defeated. Stop running and start confronting. Stop running from your past. Stop running from your problems. Stop running from people that you're scared of. Stop running from pain. Deal with it vertically. You say, what do you mean deal with it vertically? I mean, first you got to deal with God. God's got to heal you vertically before you can deal with things horizontally. See, we want to fix our relationships, fix our marriage, fix our job, fix our finances, fix this, fix that. It happens vertically first. You get healed first, then God will heal the other things that he's put you in covenant with or in rule over. You can't live your whole life on the run from your past. Confront it face to face. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot early on in Genesis about Jacob's thoughts. Did he feel bad for what he did to his brother? We don't know. But what we do know is later in the story, God brings them together. And that at some point, maybe right after he did it or maybe years later, Jacob started dealing with things vertically. And at some point, as he was cleaning his life up, he remembered his brother. And in the Bible, they were both there when they buried their father. And they both walked in the blessing. I'll prove it to you in just a minute. Jacob, let me talk to you about how he started to confront things. And I know we'll be done in just a minute. Jacob's confrontation with Laban led to a covenant. Y'all remember the father tricked him like he tricked his brother? Leah, then Rachel, the 7 years. You know, he tried to trick him again. And they had a confrontation. And the confrontation led to a covenant. So when you finally get tired of being manipulated, when you finally get to the end of yourself, when you finally get tired of being abused by a restless spirit and you confront it, it'll lead to a supernatural covenant. Laban became for Jacob because of a confrontation. Had he not confronted him, it would have never happened. The pattern would have continued. And some of you, because of your abuse or whatever you went through, you will not confront anything. And I'm not talking about beat somebody up. I'm talking about convey your truth in love to the person or to the spirit that's defeating you and rebuke that thing. Jacob's confrontation with Esau led to restoration. Later in the text, Jacob knows he's going to run into Esau. And he starts preparing a way to bless him with gifts. And he's scared to death. He's splitting his men up. He's splitting his people up because he's afraid that when his brother sees him, he's going to kill him. And there was a confrontation. And all that fear led to nothing. But there had to be a confrontation between the two brothers before there could be restoration. Jacob's wrestling match with God led to revelation. Tell me confrontation doesn't work. He gets in a wrestling match with God, and he gets revelation. Angels, divine things happening. We're worried about a fight. We're worried about confronting evil. We're worried about telling people how we feel. We'd rather just run, because that's what the enemy wants us to do. That's what that restless spirit wants to do. Just run, just move, just shift. No, you've got a mandate to deal with it for the generations that will follow you. Jacob's brokenness led to Israel's blessing, because his name was changed to Israel. And God took this deceiver and gave him dominion. That was the blessing the whole time. But he, just like his brother, he had to take dominion over deception. And Esau had to take dominion over a restless spirit. What do you have to take dominion over tonight? What does the enemy keep bringing up in your life that continues to defeat you day after day? Is it a sin? Is it a struggle? Is it a temptation? What keeps defeating you? It must be defeated. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of my peace and your peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ has healed you. He has delivered you. But this restless spirit has to be broken. Rest and be blessed. Stop running and start confronting. And I close here. Give God a chance. For those of you who are tempted by a restless spirit, who have been battling a restless spirit, give God a chance to move. The Israelites didn't make it to the promised land for 40 years because of a misstep. And you're shifting on God because he hasn't done what you wanted him to do in 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? God doesn't think about things in time like we do. He comes from a timeless dimension. Many times we're waiting on him, but he's waiting on us. The blessing's available. What do you have to work through to receive what's already available for you? Galatians says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're redeemed, bought with a price. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. So stop allowing the curse of religion to strangle you and defeat you, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Give God a chance. This is what it says. Let me close here. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming. And with him were 400 men, so he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them, bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You see, fear will keep you from confrontation. God's called us to rest and be blessed, but we've allowed fear to cause us to run and not confront and deal with our mess. I love this scene. I love this scene. Then Esau said in verse 8, listen to this, what do you mean by all this company which I met? And he said, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. That right there proves to me that he took dominion over the restless spirit, because the mourning and the weeping and the threat to kill his brother had been transformed into, you know what, brother, be blessed. I have enough. That's what God can do with your restless spirit. And Jacob said no, because Jacob knew that in that culture, he had to take the blessing. He had to redeem what he had lost. And Esau took it. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have enough. So he urged him and he took it. Then Esau said, let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before you. How do you overcome a restless spirit? Do what God says. Do things God's way and say the things that God says. What did Jesus say? Jake closed with this, and I close with this now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn within themselves for their own mess. Not mourn because someone died. Blessed are those who mourn when they look in the mirror, when they look into their heart and they see that restless spirit, when they see their own sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is meek? Gentle and submissive. See, both Esau and Jacob needed a lesson in that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus would go on to say, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me tonight. God's moved in here. We've had ministry. Brian's going to lead us. But I just want to do a little warfare in the house tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're struggling with a restless spirit and you're listening tonight by podcast, or you're in here and you're struggling with a restless spirit, would you just lift your hand up? Let me pray for you tonight. Great number of people. So here's what we want to do. You've acknowledged it. We've identified it. And now we're going to take authority over it. So Heavenly Father, you said in your word, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, Lord. And we believe that this restless spirit is a stronghold. It has taken a stronghold of your children. And so by the blood of Jesus, we pull that stronghold down. We take authority over it by your blood. And we declare that no weapon formed against God's people can prosper. And we command that spirit to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Now, Heavenly Father, I declare they are loyal. They are faithful. They are fine like new wine. God is going to bless you right where you are. Rest and be blessed. Stop running. Start confronting. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. The Bible says that Jesus never starts anything he doesn't finish. And he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion, is what it says in the Greek. So right now, power of the Holy Spirit in this place. That restless spirit's broken. Now allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up with the fruit of the Spirit. With the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's love, instead of fleeing, you're going to stay firmly planted. Instead of allowing your calling to be supplanted, you're going to commit to being planted in the house of God. Like an oak tree, you're going to be strong, and you're going to give nourishment to other people who don't have the foundation that you do. You're going to go from following to leading in the kingdom of God. God's making some of you leaders, because this is the one thing you had to get over to get to where God has called you to go. Oftentimes it's just that one thing. For Esau, it was just this one thing he had to take dominion over in order to receive his blessing. It's just one thing. And for some of you, at least 12 to 15 of you that raised your hand, I believe this is your one thing. And it had to go so that you could flow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I just declare you are healed, you are whole, you are blessed, and you're about to enter into the greatest season of spiritual rest you've ever entered into in your life. Somebody say, I receive it. Stand on your feet tonight and let's worship the King of Kings before we leave.